Our first reading is taken from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, reading from verse 6 through to verse 12. Malachi 3, 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how do we return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Here ends the first reading.
The epistle is taken from Hebrews chapter 7, reading from verse 1 to 5. Hebrews 7, 1 to 5. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. Then also, King of Salem means King of Peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just then, how great he was. Even the patriarch, Abraham, gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi, who become priests, to collect a tenth from the people. That is, their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. Here ends the epistle reading.
Hear the gospel of Christ, as it is written in Luke chapter 3, chapter 11, reading at the 39th verse. St. Luke's gospel, chapter 11, verses 39 to 42. Luke 11, 39 to 42. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees! Because you give God a tenth of your mind, will, and all other kinds of garden helps, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees! because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace. Beloved, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and the opportunity to teach your word. I thank you for all who are here, people you love dearly, and people who love you so much, and who are ready to do your will. Our prayer is that, Lord, you teach us. Holy Spirit, take control, and let us hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. We started teaching on tithe last Sunday, and we are continuing today. I believe that the reason why we are teaching is clear to us. At the last special general meeting, there was an understanding that we don't have a clear mind about tithing. And so the general impression and the decision we finally took on that day was that the minister should take this responsibility up and then share messages on tithing with the church. And I thank God that it started last Sunday. I am continuing. I believe that we all know the basis for which we have to do that. The basis for which we give to God is that He owns everything. So that is why we give. Exodus 19:5. Exodus 19:5 says that, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be my possession. But let me tell you, you are not the only people who belong to me. The whole earth is what? Mine. That was God's message to his people, the Israelites, through Moses. But then God was saying here that the whole earth is mine. Deuteronomy 10:14 says, behold, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Is for God. The earth and everything in it is for God. Job 41:11 says that, who has a claim against me that I must pay? If you feel you have something against me and you want me to pay, you tell me now. Because everything under heaven belongs to me. Psalm 24:1. Says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. In fact, you are God's possession. I am God's possession. And he owns everything I own. And lastly, 1 Timothy 6:7 says that, for we brought nothing into the world. In fact, when we were coming, we came empty. I came empty. As you see me, I came empty. And you also came empty. And the truth is that we can hurt. Take nothing out. People force and put things in. But we are not taking them anywhere. We'll go empty. That's the truth. So we believe that human beings are stewards of what we have. We are not owners. In fact, we can call ourselves landlords, but we are only encouraging ourselves. But we will leave everything here. And so we are stewards. It means everything I have has been entrusted into my care. for accountability, for a purpose. So I must use it well to his glory. Genesis 2:15 says that God told Adam that these things are all for you. Till it, subdue it, do it. And then Matthew 25:14-30 says that God gave, Jesus was telling a parable. And he said he gave man talents. We all have talents. We all have abilities. We all have resources. But we are being told in Matthew 25 that one day we'll account for all that. If we were not going to account for them, then we were owners. But if we are going to account for them, then we are not owners. We are stewards. Entrusted to us for his care. So somebody says that sometimes Christians teach that it's only 10% that is for God and 90% for us. But the truth is that 100% for God. I'm accounting for all 100%. How I use the 100%. And then he's giving me ability not to give him all. He has given us the right to use some of them even for our own good. So the Bible accepts that. That when we are able to gain wealth, we must also use wealth for our satisfaction. In fact, God is not against gaining wealth. Some people thought that God is against gaining wealth. No. He encourages hard work. He encourages gaining wealth through wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:27, finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. The meaning of this is that if you want to start a family and build a house, don't go and just start when you are unemployed. Work hard. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. So God wants us to work hard. Somebody says that in America, 54% of marriages collapse because of lack of money. In Ghana, we don't know, but it seems it might be higher because lack of money is higher here. But the truth is that God wants us to work hard. So I shouldn't go for a wife when I know I'm not ready. Somebody should not go for a husband when you know you are not ready. Because we have to work on your field, do your outdoor work, then build the house. So you just don't say, I'm going to build the house out of faith. No. Work hard. Establish something. Bring a person home. Let there be peace at home. Because in fact, we can't eat love. You can't tell someone, I love you, I love you. I love you is not food though. Every morning when you say, I can't say food, they say, I love you. I love you is not breakfast. So God encourages us to work hard and make money. Again, Proverbs 12:8 says that, Proverbs 12:8, a man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. You know, wisdom is valuable. So if through this world you use wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but integrity, and with your hard work and wisdom and learning, you make money, God is not against you. A man is praised according to his wisdom. So if we are able to work with wisdom, in Ghana people think there's no opportunity, but there's an opportunity. And you are able to capitalize on the opportunity and make something out of it, we have to praise you. We should not run you down. I know that in Ghana, not everyone is corrupt. Some people are doing legitimate business. And for such, we need to praise them. Praise we great and famous men who builded our nation. God bless our entrepreneurs. God bless our business people. God bless our professionals. who are working hard and enriching our nation. If you accept it, shout amen. Amen. James 1:5 says that if you want wisdom to live, you can ask God. He gives it liberally. He's ready to help everybody. And then Proverbs 16:26 says that the laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. You know, we are not working for nothing. Something is motivating us when we are working. And the Bible says the laborer's appetite. Chop, chop. You have to work in order to eat. And the Bible said that if you will not work, you should not do what? So does the Bible encourage laziness or indolence? Or that some people think God is against we gaining wealth. No. So John Wesley taught some people that gain as much as you can. With wisdom, work hard and gain. Save as much as you can and give as much as you can. There's nothing wrong with working hard. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and 12 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man would not work, he should not what? Can you tell the person sitting by you that we work in order to eat? Some people are not working and they want to eat. At the age of 35, you are stubbornly staying with your mother. 35, 36, still. We have to work in order to eat. Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28 says that he who has been stealing must steal no longer. That's where corruption comes. So corruption. But thank God, we in Accra Rachel, corruption, we are out. Ghana corruption, we are out. But if you are not out and you are in somewhere here, he says, he who has been stealing must what? Steal no longer. Steal no longer. No more bribe, no more corruption, no more chopping, no more alala, no more. But must work. We must all do work. Integrity. Must work. Doing something useful with our own what? Hands. That he may have something to share with those in need. It is not every time that I should be taking thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. Thank you, church members. Thank you, thank you. I should also let people say thank you. I shouldn't always be saying thank you. I should also work so that people can also say thank you to me. So the Bible says, he who is stealing must steal no longer. But thank God, the stealers are not here. Excuse my word, so. Stealers. In where? Stealers. The fraudsters and the stealers are outside there. But God save Ghana from stealing. You know, stealing is our problem here. But not in our church here. So God recognizes real work in order to make wealth. And Acts 24:16 says that there's something that must guide all of us. I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God the man. Before God the man, there should be integrity. Your conscience must be clear. I have nothing. Human beings have nothing. I am clear. And that is integrity. I'm making money legitimately. Now, when you are able to make money, we are talking about title. I'll be there very soon. When we make money, we are also to enjoy the money we have made. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that, 1 Timothy 6:17 says that, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth. The Bible says I should command them. I should command those who are. Can I command? Should I command now? Okay. I'm commanding. we should not put our hope in uncertain riches. But it says, which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. God richly provides us with everything. God abundantly blesses us with everything for our what? Oh, please shout the word. There's nothing wrong when you are enjoying your money. There's nothing wrong. God, when he provides for you, there's nothing wrong when you are building. There's nothing wrong when you are buying your nice car. There's nothing wrong when you are living a nice life. There's nothing wrong when you are traveling with your wife. There's nothing wrong when you are at the beach with your wife and you are playing. You scoop sand, you throw it at him. You scoop sand, you throw it at you. And you are, there's nothing wrong. It's enjoyment. Life should not be drab. Life should not be stiff. Sometimes with us Ghanaians, life is stiff, too stiff. Every day is fufu na banko, every day fufu na banko. One way life. Sometimes we should go to Osu's for street. Once a while, request for ice cream. I'm just playing with you, you know. Life should not be too stiff. God says that he provides you everything for your, for my, chop small. Hey, chop small. And then he also provides so that we can take care of our families. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that. Let us read. It says what? If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you have a family, your wife, children, your husband, provide, help, provide. The way it is provided. If you don't do that, then you are worse than an unbeliever. But thank God that those who are not provided are not in this church. Those who are in this church are providing. The men who are providing, shout amen. The women who are providing, shout amen. I was telling some people, you know, when God was creating the woman, he told Adam, I'll create a helper fit for him. Oh, God said helper. Did God say liability? You, Adam, I'll create a liability for you. That's not what God said. So no woman should be in a house where you are liability. I thank God the liabilities are not here. So yes, enjoy some. Provide for your relatives, your family. Give to the poor. It's also our work. But then we have to give to the Lord. And that was what we were on the other time. It is so sad that these days people are saying, the tithe and all those things were in the Old Testament. They are not in the, You know, when you read about it, sometimes I wish people do theology and understand further. Because when you read Genesis 14, 17 to 20, we read it. When Abraham gave Melchizedek 10% of the war spoil, why is it that Abraham did not give 12, 15, or 20, or 25, or 28, but 10? You know, there are documents, all documents supporting that the issue of giving 10 to kings and religious leaders was there long ago. It was known among the Babylonians. It was known among the Persians. Even known among the Chinese. It's a long thing. Again, if you read Genesis 28, 16 to 22. Genesis 28, 16 to 22. Jacob promised God that I'm making a journey. If you are able to bless me and I return in peace, I'll give you 10%. Why is it that he didn't mention 6 or 7 or something and said 10? Or 11 or 12 or 15? The 10th thing that is given to kings that was known long ago. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 8, 10 to 18, Samuel told the Israelites, you are saying you want a king. When the king comes, he will take 10% of whatever you are. So this 10% was no long ago. Before the coming of the law under Moses. It was there long ago. It was known. Is it not sad that all of a sudden somebody bravely tells you, show me in the New Testament where is tithe? Where should we give God? Show me. Matthew 23:23 and Luke 11:42, the one we read today. Last week Matthew 20 was there. Today Luke 11:42. Please let's look critically at that passage. Jesus was criticizing the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. It's the same thing in Luke 11:42. Please project it for us. And Jesus was criticizing them. He says, let us all read. Woe to you, Pharisees. Please, let's all read. Woe to you, Pharisees. Because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs. But you neglect justice and the love of what? Of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former. Continue with the former. But above that, let there be fairness. Let there be justice. Let there be mercy. Let there be love. But he didn't tell him, stop the other one you are doing. You should have extolled the latter. But you should have continued doing what you were doing. So did Jesus tell them, stop? Somebody says, only one passage. Only one passage. Show me more. Brothers and sisters listening to me, the issue we'll talk about, being born again, knowing the Lord, getting converted, it was only one conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus in John 3, 1 to 7. He said, must be born again. Only once. And so do we say that because he said it only once, nowhere else in the New Testament, so he said it once, so it's not true. You know, when it comes to issues of money, sometimes it is like doing medicine. When doctors are examining patients, sometimes they can use their hands. Do you feel pain? Is there any pain? When is it? There's pain. Then it means further examination. You will know that. They use pain to detect further troubles. So scan. There should be scan. You know, in the Christian life, it's the same. Anytime they talk about money and you are getting annoyed, there's pain. Then it means that you have problem with money. There must be further examination. Because those who are doing the right thing before God, there's no pain. When they talk, their pocket, no pain. When they are talking, no pain. When they are talking, their account, no pain. But if they talk, and it means that there's pain. There should be further examination. So Christians who show pain, it's not in it. It's not in the age. It's not around. It's not. There should be further examination. Next week, we'll further examine this. We'll further examine it. You find Christians saying that only once. But you know, in the New Testament, there's no mention of organ, playing drums, playing guitar. They are all in the Old Testament. But we are playing. Why is it that that one too? You don't stand and say, where is organ? Where is organ? Yeah. You see, there are a lot of things said. Nobody canceled it. This one, Jesus has even said once. But I thank God that those who are arguing about these things are not here. They are not our Accra church. They are somewhere outside there. And we in Accra church, we understand. Understanding is wonderful. If it is the case, shout amen. Oh, you are annoyed. Should I stop? Some people are not laughing. I should stop. It means there is pain. And there should be further what? Examination. Please, your God demands that you show your love to him, not only in words, sometimes in action. Do you know what Deuteronomy 16:16-17 says? It says that when you are appearing before me, I am the God who blessed you. Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Let us read. My time is up. I was given 30 to 35 minutes, and my time is up. So there will be further examination next week. But let us read. It says what? To the men, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before, let us read, appear before the Lord your God at the place where he will choose, at the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. There was a song people were singing in three those days. God knows he has blessed you. When you are bringing praise, add something to the praise. Don't come empty-handed. Verse 17 says what? Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God obey. God is blessing you. God is blessing you. And you are coming here. I said, I'm crying. I'm a yeah, yeah. Canon has given me more time. or should I stop? Okay, you see, when you are bringing that seda, please ask something small. And you heard that they said in proportion to, you saw it there, you are the English people, in proportion to. So if I am down there and I'm bringing 10, and you also bringing 10, where is the proportion? And how do we determine the proportion? And this thing in the Old Testament is somewhere in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:2. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Paul, when he was talking to his people for the collections they were taking for those in Jerusalem and the rest. Let us read. He says what? On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his. Other translations say in proportion to your income. So if you and the other poor man, you are all bringing 10. Yeah. What is the proportion? It should be proportional. Proportional. In keeping with your income, save it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. In proportion to our income. Even the New Testament encourages proportional giving. So if you are the type who is against tithe, now I leave proportional giving to you. The Bible says proportional. 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 There should be a basis for proportional giving. Should there be no basis? There should be a basis. And you know, God, let me use a better statement. In fact, I see it as dangerous when you get blessings here on this earth, but you have no blessings before God. It is very dangerous. A dangerous kind of Christian life. Luke chapter 12, 13 following. This one I want us to read quickly. Luke chapter 12, 13 following. Please, can you help me so that we all read? It says what? Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Let us continue. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Let us go. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. That's the part. I won't even preach. It's okay. If you feel you won't be rich towards God, it's nobody's palaver. You are rich only towards yourself. Alala. Alala. I leave the passage to you. Let us pray. Father, we are at your feet, ready to learn. I pray that you keep on teaching us and keep on granting us grace to do your will. Father, we are ready. Ready to go with you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all who are in this church. I thank you for their love for you. I know you are with us. Let your spirit continue to work amongst us. At the end of the day, grant us the grace to be obedient, even in giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tell the person sitting by you, God richly bless you. Okay, thank you, sir.